Well, welcome to this Wednesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, for the past couple of weeks, the world has been focused on Beijing. And here in the U.S., we've been especially interested in one particular athlete, Michael Phelps.
Well, this past weekend, as you know, Dave, Michael Phelps accomplished just an unbelievable feat of winning 8 gold medals at a single Olympic game. And I'm just so proud of him as a swimmer. I've followed him since he was 15 years old and entered his first Olympics that far back. I'm just fascinated by his ability. But I'm also proud of him as he represented our country very, very well. He was so humble and winsome and approachable. But there's also some lessons to learn from that accomplishment. I've read a lot about him. Of course, he's had the whole world seemingly watching. In fact, when he would swim, the ratings on NBC would soar. But outside the water, they said that he was incredibly well planned, that he had prepared for this for years, and he was simply executing on his plan. And he was disciplined in everything he did to stay on that plan. In fact, even what he ate, he was very, very careful about what he ate. And he was going to celebrate the day after 8 gold medals with a cheeseburger and French fries. He'd been wanting that. And that was the big celebration. Number two, it said that he was able to keep it simple. In spite of all the pressure and all of the distractions and all of the hoopla around it, it was very, very simple. He said he wanted to get into the water and improve his ability to swim that race better than he had swum it before. And that's how it lived out. He was constantly getting better. And number three, it said he had unbelievable tenacity. He never quit. 5 miles a day for years and years and years, looking at the bottom of a swimming pool. But now today, he's so good at it. As the Bible says, if you're skilled in your labor, you will stand before kings. And now the whole world is applauding. And we can apply those lessons to our own finances. If we set a goal, if we have a plan, and we're disciplined and stick to it, we keep it very, very simple, not complex. Just have a simple goal that you're going to make progress every time you deal with your finances. That's all. It's like that's how simple it was for Michael. I'm just going to make progress every time I do this. And then tenacity. He never, ever quit. That's what it takes to get our finances in order. And anybody can do it. And I hope you're inspired by Michael Phelps. Well, today, Dave, we're going to talk about the bag lady syndrome. I wasn't aware of the bag lady syndrome until just recently. And we're going to talk about how to overcome financial fear. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And if you have to step away from the program, you can always hear Money Life again online at crown.org. You know, Chuck, before we went to the break, you mentioned that today we'll be talking about the bag lady syndrome, which is an irrational fear of being left destitute financially.
Well, you know, Dave, I'd never heard of it either, and I was introduced to the term through some of the reading that I do, and it actually is a syndrome that's irrational fear about the financial future. And I'm reading from an article in the Washington Times that says that the bag lady syndrome are people who have money and maybe even a decent salary, but they have this irrational fear that they'll end up losing all their income and end up forgotten and destitute. A startling 90% of women say they feel financially insecure. almost half say they're troubled by a tremendous fear of becoming a bag lady. 46% of women overall and 48% of those with an annual income of more than $100,000. And then another 57% of the women in the survey said they're sorry that they had not learned more about money matters in school and started at a younger age. Mm. And so this is a real thing. And Dave, it's something that I don't experience. And so it's not only because I'm not female, but I also tend to not have a lot of irrational fear. And so it's hard for me to enter into that. But I think there's people listening today right now who say, that's me. I feel that no matter what their true financial condition is, they live with it. And there are times when Anne, my wife, I think has had a little dose of it, when I've made a dumb financial decision or a mistake or the economy jitters a little bit and she reads a lot and she'll come to me and I can see that she's projected it out into the future and we're not in the right now where everything's okay. We're out in this far distant land where the wheels have come off and we're both bag ladies. I mean, she or I'm a bag man and she's the bag lady.
Right.
And I have to say, okay, honey, let's talk about this. You know, where are we? So today I want to talk to those who really deal with that fear. And how do you get rid of this irrational financial fear? And the first place I want to start is on how to refocus. Because what happens is we start living way, way, way out in the future. And the future then starts to backwash on us because it's so unknown and it's so scary. And there's so much scary information out there that our minds don't know how to relax, and they start to just grind and grind and grind. And the Lord talked about worry and fear, and he talked about it clearly in Matthew 6. And Matthew 6 has become really a very practical chapter of the Bible to me. I remember when I started to take the Word of God very seriously, and I have to admit there was a day in my life I grew up reading the Scripture. I've been a believer since I was 7 years old, and it had become so familiar to me that it's, I think in my own heart I'd become somewhat impervious to it. It wasn't getting through. And I remember I asked the Lord to really open my heart to help me to receive His Word and to know Him more. And when I got to Matthew 6, suddenly I saw it totally differently. But he talks about some very practical steps. Number one is giving to the needy. And he says very clearly to give in secret. And he makes a promise that your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And then he says, pray in secret. And then he ends with the exact same promise that your Father who knows what's done in secret will reward you in full. And then he says, fast in secret. And the same promise that your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So there's three activities that are, some people call them spiritual disciplines. I call them spiritual challenges in a way. Give to the needy and do it in secret.
Yep.
Pray and do it in secret. And fast and do it in secret. All three of those things, what the Lord is saying is to put it to the test. Put it to the test, because don't look for the needy to reward you. Give to those who can't do anything for you. Give with a pure heart, a pure motive, because you're not going to get anything back from them. And you shouldn't expect to get anything back. And then go in and pray, not a ceremony type prayer, an opening banquet type prayer. Go into your closet where nobody else is going to see what you're praying and pray a real prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Say what is really on your heart. And then make some sacrifices of what you desire by fasting. Give up, break some of that input that you've been getting. Fast, give up on some things, deny yourself is what fasting means, and see what God will do. Well, I began to put those things into practice and to start to really experience that God was there seeing what was done. And it began to be so motivating, not because of the reward, but knowing that God was in fact seeing and watching. Then he culminates that very chapter into these two thoughts, that you can't serve two masters. So quit thinking that your true master is money that he's your true master because he's been showing you that he will take care of you even if all of your activity is secret, and then to stop worrying. He says in Matthew 6:25, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So you've got to get refocused and trust God who will take care of your needs. And he says, here's what you shouldn't worry about, what you will eat or drink or about your body or what you will wear. That's what most of us worry about. The bag lady syndrome comes down to that very thing. What am I going to have any food? Am I going to have things to wear? Am I going to have water? I mean, what am I going to eat, drink, and wear? Those are the big, big worries in the bag lady syndrome. And so it sounds like it's over-spiritualizing it, Dave. But I think that the Lord is saying, actually put it to the test. If you're worried and you're way out into the future, stop worrying and trust me. And he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, that food you're worried about, the clothes that you're worried about wearing, don't worry about them. Focus on the things that I've said are important, serving only one master, seeking first God and his will. And then he engages with what he can do that you could never achieve on your own. Seeking first, it's a matter of refocusing, and that's how worry goes away. The most useless advice is to stop worrying. Because you say, well, fine, I'd like to, but that hasn't helped at all. Well, what he says is replace worry with these activities, believing me, and with refocusing on what you're thinking about. Who is in control of your life? Is money going to replace your fear, or is seeking first the kingdom of God?
Well, you're listening to Money Life with Chuck Bentley. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, we're talking today about how to rid ourselves of irrational worry and fear.
Well, worry is such a major part of the outcome of financial stress and pressure. I mean, it just grinds and grinds and grinds, and it can become irrational. And according to this survey, 50% of all women have this irrational fear of the future that they're going to be out on the streets. It's funny, I asked Ann if she's ever had that, because I think I've seen it in her eyes before, and she laughed and said, yeah, I have. and I think it was kind of healthy for me to realize that, to understand it, because as I said, I don't tend to be fearful, and I don't worry a lot. So it helped me to be sympathetic and more understanding. And I started to look at it through the eyes of what the scripture says. And this Matthew 6 passage just so took me back, that God said to trust him with all this activity, even if it's secret. He sees you and is going to take care of you, and therefore you should not worry. It reminds me of Hebrews 13:5, when the Lord said, keep your lives free from the love of money. And you could also say free from the worry about money. Because never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And he implies there that money will.
Sure.
So it's a rational fear to think that money might leave you. It will. It'll sprout wings and fly away, according to Scripture. But he doesn't. And so what worry identifies is that you've placed your trust in the wrong place. It's the red light going off on the dashboard that says your radiator's overheating. You need to stop and do something about it. And the Lord's saying, if the source of worry is financial, then you've got to transfer your trust over to me. Secondly, the reason we did the money map is so that people have a step-by-step way to take the proper actions. They didn't get confused. Now, Dave, we get questions all the time, and you see those questions, and we talk about those questions all the time of where do I start? What's the first step? And the money map lays it out for you. You have got to get on a spending plan.
Yep.
You've got to know where the money's going. You've got to track it, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how painful it is. You've got to know where the money goes. And the reason we've set up our online money map coaching is so you can have somebody there for free. I think, again, one of the finest services we offer, absolutely free. Go online and sign up and say, I need somebody to help me track where I am at and get my budget in place, to get my spending plan in place so that I can begin to save money. The second step is to have an emergency savings plan. Emergency savings account. Until you have $1,000 saved, you're going to live in worry and live like you're going to go over the edge of the cliff because you have no fallback. And having more margin on your credit card is not a fallback position.
Yeah, right.
And that's how many people treat their credit card.
Yeah.
It's the emergency savings plan. Well, if I can get a little more paid down on my minimum, then I've got enough to make it through next month in case I go over. And so they just stay in this cycle of paying down a little, running it back up, paying down a little, running it back up. So until you have that $1,000, then you don't have an ability to get off that cycle. So saving $1,000 is important, and there's no easy way to do it. There's no shortcuts. Basically, what you have to do is say, I'm going to save 10% of every dollar I earn until I have $1,000. And then I'm going to reprioritize everything else around there. And I think it should be, I'm going to give first, and I'm going to save, and then I'm going to manage my resources. Now, I realize if you're in a bind, and so many of you who write us are in a bind, then you can't immediately start there. But you've got to have a goal of where are you going to start. You know, we read a statistic the other day that the average high school graduate's lifetime earnings, that's probably 40 years of their life, over their lifetime, they're going to earn $1.5 million. Meaning if you go to work for 40 years in this country as a high school graduate, the average is going to make well over $1 million. So the issue isn't how much money you make. That's a ton of money. It's, are you able to save any of it? And that is a habit that has to be ingrained in your thinking right off the top. Because if you save 10% of every dollar, whether you make a little or a lot, you will always have money to fall back on and eliminate some of this fear of the future. Now, again, God doesn't want us putting our trust in it, but he does want us to be wise and to have a plan like the Michael Phelps plan, where he was followed a plan and was very disciplined about it. And then number three is, after you've got a spending plan, after you've learned to save money and have at least $1,000 and then moving up towards 3 to 6 months of your living expenses, then you need to get out of debt. You need to really, really attack that and to get rid of that financial pressure, because that is the thief that's going to rob your future away from you. It's very hard to overcome the cost of debt in today's culture.
Well, Chuck, let's go back to something you just mentioned. You referenced the money map, and in that, you suggested that we put 3 to 6 months of living expenses aside prior to actually tackling our debt reduction.
Well, Dave, it'd be wonderful if you have enough margin to do both at the same time. But if you're stuck between doing one or the other, we really believe that creating financial margin is the way that you ultimately overcome it. And margin isn't created by just simply paying down a credit card and increasing the amount of credit availability to you. It's actually created by having liquidity, by having cash in the bank. And so that is a very, very wise first move, is to get your cushion built, then go after that debt and pay it off. That way you don't ever fall back on the debt. You know, when we talk about not carrying a monthly balance on your credit cards, it's a great idea, but for many people, it's just impossible because there's no margin. And if they go over their monthly spending, they have to start going into minimum payment. So getting that 3 to 6 month margin is a huge, huge step, and it's not impossible for anybody.
Well, that's good advice, Chuck. For those of you who want to learn more about the money map, you can do that by going to crown.org. While you're there, you'll also find a host of other resources to help you make money, manage it well, and use it to fulfill God's purposes for your life. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, we've been talking today about how to eliminate worry from our lives.
Well, you know, Dave, the study cites how many, 50% in fact, of all women say at one point they've had this, what they call bag lady syndrome, where they're just very, very concerned about being out on the streets and no one there to take care of them. But I think that men can have it as well. And it's important to note that men just react differently to it. A lot
sure.
of times, they make real, real rash decisions, while a woman may just silently kind of suffer in her worry. But a man many times will have it and make some really poor choices. So it can affect anybody, and we need to be gracious towards those that are being impacted by their fear. You know, when I grew up, my grandmother used to say that worrying is like being in a rocking chair. You put out a lot of energy, you just don't get anywhere. And, you know, she's really right. I've thought about that before in my own life when I thought, oh, I'm in that rocking chair, Grandma. I'm just grinding and not getting anywhere. But I think we need to be gracious towards those who've been trapped by worry and fear. You know, it's a tool of the enemy.
Yep.
And it's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not what God desires for us. But He wants us to be able to have victory over it. And He wants us to refocus, as we said earlier, to refocus and then to get on a plan. And I'm reminded of the verse in Titus that says in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions." By the way, it's the grace of God that teaches us. It's not the law of God. It said it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It's God's kindness who says, pick yourself back up. I know you've been worrying. I know you've done the wrong things. I know you're in a bind. I know you're in a mess. I know you've got financial stress off the charts right now. But it's the grace of God. It's His kindness. It's His willingness to allow you, no matter how many times you've failed, to come back and say, Lord, I need your help one more time. I need your help again. It's the grace of God that teaches us that. And it says it also teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, meaning not in the future age, not in the age that you're worried is going to come someday. And I read all the negative news, Dave. I keep up to speed on where the economy is going, and at least what people think it's going. And there's plenty to be worried about. But the Bible says that the grace of God allows you to live an upright and godly life in this present age, where you are right now. And that's what God desires. Mm-hmm. And don't forget the Michael Phelps lessons we talked about today. Get on a plan. Follow that money map. Keep it very, very simple and never quit. Stay focused on it. And you too can come out of the other side without worry and in a position where you are financially free and do not have to worry about money.
Well, thanks, Chuck. And thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.